Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into episode 211 of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, powered by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm your host, Eric Cross, and with me, as usual, is my 80-grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, so how you awake this morning? This is our first ever morning recording in the over 200 episodes of the Tool Shed.
It's a little weird. It is the first time, and slept a little late today, got home late from a game, and then wife and son are at her parents' house, so slept much later than I have in a while, so I got up and grabbed a little breakfast and hopped on the pod. So I think I'm awake, but I'm looking forward to it, and it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, we were talking before we started recording. Like, I'm definitely sure this is our first ever morning recording. Like, we've never done a Sunday morning, and obviously during the week we always do it at night. So yeah, this is by far our earliest recording. It's going to be interesting, but it feels good. You know, I took the day off, you know, Memorial Day weekend, 4-day weekend. So I went dropped my kids off at school, went out, actually had some breakfast with my mother, and then, yeah, came home, got some coffee, and, you know, talked some baseball. It's going to be a good episode here. Third one of the week. Like, we were talking earlier in the week about how we've been talking about a lot of, you know, prospects that are on the rise right now, but maybe it's time to talk about some prospects that are kind of struggling to start the season. So that'll be our focus today. But before we get into the show, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter, Chris at RotoClegg. I'm EricCross04, shows at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms, Chris's Substack and my Patreon, for more work from each of us, including all of our prospect and dynasty rankings. And before we get into the show, we want to say a quick word about our friends at Underdog Fantasy. If you sign up using the promo code Toolshed, you'll receive a 100% deposit match up to $100. And that can be used for any of their fun fantasy games. Sign up today using that code Toolshed at play.underdogfantasy.com/P-the-toolshed. All right, we'll start off with some hitters here, Chris. And one guy that was considered, I think, for fantasy purposes, pretty universally or close to it, a top five guy entering the season, but just hasn't the number. Well, he's still got 5 home runs, 11 steals, but Jordan Lawler is only slashing 186, 314, 357 in 156 plate appearances for the Amarillo Sod Poodles, one of my favorite names in all of minor leagues, with a 29.5% strikeout rate. So really rough start of the year. I mean, yeah, he's still on like a 20-40 pace. I'll give him that or something like that. But man, like the contact skills just have not been there, and the K rate has ticked up from previous years. So, and we talked about him a little bit when we were doing our, you know, our new top 10 prospect segment a couple episodes ago. But are you just in general, are you worried about Lawler moving forward? Would you be looking to, I don't know, and now it's a good time to sell, but would you look to buy low, or what are your thoughts on him moving forward?
I think his value is going to tank a bit more. If you can still cash out and get a top 10 prospect or get like a top 100 dynasty asset, I probably do so, because there's a lot of discouraging stuff under the hood. And these are a couple things that I tried to warn about. One, he didn't hit the ball hard last year. And obviously the contact was a lot better last year than this year. And the contact's kind of reversed and fell off, even though there were some concerning signs last year. But, you know, he was young, so we kind of gave him the benefit of the doubt last year, because he bumped up to double A last year as well, right? So in double A as a 19-year-old, it was like, okay, like we'll give him the benefit of the doubt for what he was doing. And overall, like it was a pretty solid season despite his struggles when he did move to double A. And that is the biggest jump that we typically see for a player to make, is go from high A to double A. And you saw his K rate jump last year when he moved from high A to double A, and it's even jumped more this year. So the interesting thing is that we mentioned the power. Last year, he had a 83-mile-an-hour average exit velocity, which isn't good at all. 100.8-mile-an-hour, 90th percentile EV. The good thing was he didn't chase at all. He chased a 21% rate, which is pretty elite. He had a 28% hard hit rate. He did have a 69% zone or contact, overall contact, but the zone contact was good at 78.5%. Not great, but it's livable. And this year, like, those contact numbers have driven down a lot. He's swinging a bit more. He's chasing about 10% more, 9% more. He's up to a near 30% chase rate. He's making contact on 74% of pitches in the zone, and his overall contact rate is about 67%. Although that's a 14.5% swinging strike rate. So obviously those signs are a bit concerning that we've seen from Lawler. And it's not like it's just a new thing this year. It's something that we kind of saw last year. It was a trend as he kind of moved up. Yes, there's power, there's speed. Those things are really good. And at the end of the day, like, I think he's always going to have the speed to fall back on. But like, what kind of hitter are we looking at? It's too early to make like a full judgment call on him. He'll be 21 in a couple of months. So 20-year-old in double A. I'm not ready to make like a concrete judgment on him, but I'd say there's a large enough sample of concerns that we should at least consider it. And I dropped him outside of my top 10. I think I had him ranked 12 or 13. And that may still be high, all things considered. But we're looking at an 83 WRC plus. So it's not like he's, you know, I mean, he's well below league average in double A, and I get he's young, but all that's league adjusted and stuff. So we can't make excuses for too much longer for him. Hopefully we see him turn around, but yeah, I'm like a scale of 1 to 10, like I'd say I'm like a 6 out of 10 worried about him.
Yeah, that's fair. And this kind of goes back to something I've mentioned too, about how we can't just give him a free pass because he's young for the level. I mean, we have to look at the profile, and you mentioned it, you know, the issues with the hard contact not being great and contact going down this year, K rate going up. But, you know, I'm kind of there in the middle. I'll say I'm a 5 out of 10 concern. It's like he's still, you know, he's still stealing a bunch of bags. He's still walking at a high clip. So he's still got a couple of things going for him well. And, you know, small sample size, last 3 games, 5 hits, only 1 strikeout. Just after going, he had like a 6 or 7 game hitless streak. So yeah, he was really, so maybe he's turning it around. Who knows? Again, only been a couple of days, but Yeah, I still think he's going to be a pretty solid fantasy asset. Like, I still think even with, you know, the quality of contact that being like impactful, I think he can still be a guy that gets, you know, 15 plus home runs, you know, maybe 20, 25, maybe even closer to 30 steals. But where's the average settle at? I think OBP will be pretty solid. He's always been a guy that walks at a pretty good clip. He's been well over 10% like basically everywhere he's gone. So we'll see where the contact and quality of contact are the two kind of things I'm looking at here. And obviously keep the K rate in check is going to be a big thing too. So yeah, he's, you know, I probably didn't bump him down far enough. He's in that glob of guys that are like, you know, either right in front of the top 10 or right behind the top 10. But yeah, I think, you know, by the time I update my next rankings sometime in the month of June for prospects, I think there'll be another 100 or so put appearances for him by then. I think we'll have a good idea of, all right, is he going to keep falling down or is he, you know, the slow start to the year and he's correcting it. But yeah, definitely have a decent level of concern. And we didn't have him on the list, but I just want to mention him real quick. Where's your level of concern with Churio, Chris? Because obviously Churio is a great talent and he's only 19 years old and just turned 19 like a month and a half ago or whatever it was. When he turned 19, it was, okay, so a couple months ago. It was the middle of March. So, you know, he's only like 19.3 years old or whatever it is. But since he got up to or passed low A last year, he's a .233 hitter above low A with an OBP lower than below 300. This year, slashing .239, .287, .371. You know, not a big strikeout rate. I think it's around 24%, but also has a lower walk rate too. So do you have any concern about Churio right now?
A little bit. It's, yeah, it hasn't been super pretty. Much like we've seen with Lawler, there's some concerns. I think, again, it's like, all right, he just turned 19, like double A. So what is it? What do we make of that? And how much weight do we put on the struggle? Hopefully he, you know, rebounds and gets going. There are some things that, you know, I've seen, like at least the contact skills are there. Like,
yep,
we're talking about 80% zone contact, which is much higher than Lawler's. His overall contact rate is close to 75%. So, you know, those things are at least there to give us a little backing. The power, like, he's weird because, like, he's hit some opposite field home runs that, like, should have been pop outs to first base, like getting jammed on the hands at 98. And it's like, how do you do that? But then there's other times where I've watched him and it's just like, okay, like, who is he? The talent's certainly top five worthy, top 10 worthy, but certainly want to see it translate into games like we saw early last year. So I think there's reason to at least monitor what Jackson Churio is doing, I'd say.
Yeah, like I'm only like scale 1 to 10 on how worried I am, probably like a 3 or something like that. Like definitely less than Lawler, but yeah, maybe we did go a little overboard in him. Obviously, like the talent's there. Like, I agree with that as well. Like, the talent is absolutely there. Like, you don't do what you did last year without having an immense level of talent. You know, 18 years old, getting up to double A and doing what he did when he was on like a 30-25 pace or something like that. Hit .288 last year. So talent is absolutely there. But yeah, I have some concern. He's a bit aggressive. You know, has never, even last year, didn't walk a whole ton last year. He's like a 6-7% walk rate guy, which isn't like terrible, but it's definitely below average. So yeah, just definitely something to kind of keep an eye on moving forward. The other kind of big name here that's, well, these are all big names, but the other like really big name that was probably even pushing top 10 at some point end of last season and then into this offseason, Jason Dominguez, who's a guy that anytime we figure out, like we think we have him figured out, Chris, like he does something different, right? Like he was overhyped, so he moved down rankings when he struggled. Then, he, you know, he started hitting well. We move him back up. Now he's hitting bad again. But I mentioned him in my article on FTN the other day about how, like, I'm not, you know, I've been a little bit lower than most on Jason. I'll admit that. But look at, so he's playing in Double A, which is Somerset, New Jersey. It's actually technically in Bridgewater, New Jersey, apparently. But this is the first time he's really played in cold weather. By the time he got up last year, low A, Tampa, that he didn't get up to, you know, high A is in Hudson Valley, New York, and then double A, Somerset in New Jersey. He didn't get up to Hudson Valley until I think it was like June or July. So like, he's never played in cold weather. I wonder if that's kind of affecting him a bit here. So he's still walking a ton, still running. The power's okay. Right now, it's not great, but it's not terrible. But yeah, he's hitting 194. It didn't look good out in the AFL either. But I don't know. Where you on in JSON now? Like I said, he's been such a roller coaster ride of a prospect here over the last couple of years. Are you back to a buy low or are you concerned?
It's been a complete roller coaster of just emotions with him. So I don't know what to do with JSON because, like you said, it's been like, all right, he was overhyped, and then now it's like he was underhyped. Like everybody's like, he sucks, he's terrible, not good, sell him. And then it was like, okay, like there were some signs that he was improving. I was like, okay, then I bumped him back up. I'm like, all right, like he's legit. And now it's like, ooh, this is pretty ugly. The zone contact rate's below 70%. The overall contact rate is right at 70%. He at least doesn't chase. Like, that's what he's got going for him. He's pretty disciplined. But if that's all he's got going for him right now, there's not much else. Obviously, there's power, there's speed. So those plate discipline skills are kind of – it shows with the fact that he's swinging and missing a lot in the zone, 194 average. He's not chasing a lot of pitches out of the zone, 358 OBP, but just a 380 slug, which is kind of bizarre to see when you look at it. Six home runs is solid. I'd like to see a little more power from him. We know the power's in there with him. The 14 stolen bases is what interesting to me. Like, he's 14 of 16 on the base paths. Like, he's such a weird profile. Like, I'm struggling with what to make of him, where to actually rank him. And I don't know. Like, is he top 25, top 50? It's probably closer to top 50. I'm not sure my rankings actually reflected that at this time, but maybe it should. And maybe this is one where we need to see a little bit more. He's hit a lot of fly balls, which I think is kind of hurting the BABIP some, like near 50% fly ball and a 14% home run to fly ball rate. So I think that's causing a bit of issue, and maybe he's being a bit too passive with a 20% walk rate. So still above league average, though. Like I talked about Lawler being an 80 WRC plus. JSON is 107 WRC plus in AA as a young 20-year-old. He's younger than Lawler, so at least that's encouraging there. But for fantasy production, like, need to see at least some more contact and average there.
Yeah, and like I said, like, I don't know how I want to rank him. He was up top 25 in my last update, but I questioned whether that was the right call or not. You know, a lot of the guys in that range, you know, have their issues as well, whether it be injury or performance, whatever, or just like not a long track record of being good. And like I said, look at what he did last year. And he was really good last year, especially as the season wore on. He got the like Hudson Valley high A, 40 games there, slash 306, 397, 510. You know, it was hitting very well in low A Tampa as well. And just running a ton, 37 steals last year, only caught seven times, you know, walking a ton. And like the approach is still there this year. Like, he's walking at a 20% clip this year and only striking out right below 25% of the time. So like, he's still showing a good approach. Power's still there a little bit. It's all about the contact right now, like you mentioned, Chris. So I'm just waiting to see. I want to see when the weather warms up. Like I said, this is his first time playing in cold weather. Like, up here in the Northeast, it's not great. Like, these April and May games are just not. You know, obviously we've had some decent weather at times, but for the most part, you get a lot of like rainy, just gloomy nights, and it's just for a guy that's never really dealt with that. You know, a guy from the Dominican Republic who's basically played most of his time in Florida or, you know, New York during the summertime. He hasn't really dealt with this. So I'm wondering if that factors in a little bit. So I'm willing to give him another month here. But if we get to like, you know, end of June, early July, get near the All-Star break, and he's still kind of around this, you know, Mendoza line, then I think the drop in my rankings might be a bit more drastic, whatever that update is. Next name on the list, Elijah Green here. Elijah Green and Drew Jones. We kind of group these two together.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
I mean, Drew Jones has only played 10 games. I don't know how critical we're going to be after 10 games, but man, like, remember when it was like that discussion of the top three in FYPDs last year? Everyone, like, I think I had Holiday three, I'll admit that, of these three, because I was like, I was so enamored by the upside of Drew Jones, the upside of Elijah Green, and then obviously Holiday is now arguably the number one prospect in baseball, and the other two are floundering a bit. But Green is just striking out way too much. He has struck out 70 times in 36 games this season. And if you want to add last year, a total of 91 in 48 games. So the K rate this year, 45.2%. And overall in his career, the K rate is 44%, 48 games. He's running a ton. He's got 17 steals this year, 18 overall in 48 games. Not hitting for a lot of power. You know, the ISO is under 100 right now, and he has 2 home runs, 6 doubles. You know, the walk rate is solid. The walk rate this year is at 13.5%. But, man, and we knew the swing and miss was an issue. I just don't think we ever thought it'd be this much of an issue, which is extremely limiting him. But I don't know. How worried are you think he's going to figure it out? He, obviously, he's still very young, 19 years old. But this is definitely alarming for sure.
Yeah, it's not good at all. And on top of the fact that he's striking out as much as he is, he's hitting the ball on the ground when he makes contact 50% of the time. So it's like strikeout or a ground ball, it seems. The tools are certainly there, but you can't materialize the tools if you don't make contact. He's hitting .227 with a .459 BABIP, which is just absolutely insane. I'd be lying to you if I said I was not concerned here. And, you know, for me, like, Green has dropped a decent bit in my rankings, more than Drew Jones, because, like you said, it's been a small sample and Jones has been kind of beat up, but there are a lot of concerning things with Jones too. But Elijah Green's numbers are just scary, scary bad. Like, with the amount of contact that he's making, like, his zone contact rate is 57% right now. Like, when you can't hit a pitch in the zone like that, that's a major, major issue. And his overall contact rate is pretty poor too. It's right around 57% as well. So making similar contact out of the zone as he is in the zone, he's chasing, he's whiffing, hitting the ball on the ground. Like, I don't know. Like, I dropped him pretty substantially in my rankings. I had him at 84, and that's pretty much just leaving him there on tools alone. But he may not be a top 100 prospect by midseason if this continues. Can this turn around? Yeah, I believe so. But right now, it's pretty ugly.
Yeah, I didn't drop him down far. I still had him top 50, and just because of the upside alone, because we talked about it, the upside is like Ellie levels. The upside is, you know, 70-plus grade power, 70-plus grade speed. And he's shown that in small glimpses, but you know, and the hit tool was, again, the hit tool was the question mark surrounding Elijah Green entering last year's draft. And it's been even more of an issue than I think anybody, even the biggest, you know, Green doubter, I think even bigger than they would have anticipated him. I don't think anybody thought he'd be striking out near 50% of the time, you know, 48 games or whatever it is into his professional career. So, yeah, this is absolutely an issue. Man, I wish, go back and, you know, luckily I didn't have any high draft picks last year in FYPD, which actually saved me a little bit, because I probably would have taken, if I had like a pick one or two, I probably would have gone Drew Jones or Elijah Green, thankfully, and I would have been really pissed about missing out on Jackson Holiday, because I tweeted yesterday, his OBP, Jackson Holiday's OBP over the last like week and a half is like 700. Like 700 OBP with like a 1,200 like slug or something like that. It's like every day it's like, oh, yep, got on base 3 times. Yep, got on base 4 times. It's insane how much better of a pure hitter. And I think, I don't know if that's going to make me start, and I think you and I both have put more focus on like hit tools and whatnot, but I mean, maybe we need to put even more of a focus on that, because like, yeah, maybe when looking back, like, all right, we all thought Holiday has good upside, but not quite as high as Jones or Green. But I think we kind of ignored the fact that he was just so much safer of a hitter. And I know hindsight's 20/20, it's easy to say now, but even back then, like, I think everybody thought, like, all right, Holiday's probably the safest of the three, but he doesn't quite have the upside of the other two. So maybe we got to put even more focus on just, you know, the floor and just how good of a pure hitter they are, even the system. Just believe anything Baltimore does, I'm just going to believe in right now, especially on the hit, especially on the hitting side of things. Like, that org is doing things the right way. And like I said, I think like five of my top 20 are from Baltimore right now, my overall. So, yeah, definitely. We definitely whiffed on that one, these two guys a little bit. But, you know, I think it's still time to, you know, still young. I think that he can turn it around. Obviously, the upside is massive for both these guys. But, yeah, they're definitely falling a good amount down rankings right now. Next name on the list, Dustin Harris from the Texas Rangers. Got us coming off a 2025 season in 2021. Last year would have gotten there. He had 17-19, only 85 games, even though the average dropped about 70 points. But this year, you know, he's still running a ton. He has 17 steals. I mean, who isn't running a ton right now? I think I could have at least double-digit steals right now in the minor leagues, the way things are. But 17 steals, only been caught once. This is in 39 games. But only four home runs and a 226, 367, 411 slash line. So, like, the approach is still solid. Like, the K rate is 25%. You know, walk rate is right around 16% or, you know, 16.5%. So that's still pretty solid. But the power is kind of just taking a dip down after being a guy that was on like a 30 homer pace 2 years ago and nearly 35 homer pace last year. So how concerned are you? Is it? He's not quite as bad as the guys we've talked about so far. There's still a lot of good things going on with Dustin Harris, but how concerned are you about the average that's been kind of in a free fall over the last couple of years?
Well, I think the first concern is that they put him back in double A.
Yeah.
I don't know. And there was things like, all right, he liked working with those coaches there. So it's like, we'll send him back there. Also, like, Texas's like core future guys are all there, like Evan Carter and Luis Angel Acuna. Like, all those guys are in Frisco double A right now. So in my opinion, though, like, Harris is a soon-to-be 24-year-old, should have started the year in AAA, and, like, he should have been one of their first calls up to play the outfield. And obviously now back in AA, like, is it a confidence thing? Like, he played the entire year in AA last year, and they send him back? Like, he performed in AA. So is it a confidence thing? I really don't know with him what's going on completely, but we have seen some concerning signs of him making a lot less contact and him obviously seeing the results of poor batting average. Like, that's dropped. His OBP is up. Like, he's being a bit more passive. He's walking 17.2% of the time. At the end of the day, like, that may be the issue. He's swinging at 61% of pitches in the zone, which is good, but his zone contact rate is down pretty substantially from last year. So you have to wonder a bit about that. Like, why is he whiffing more in the zone? He was 85% zone contact last year. He's 74% zone contact this year. He's chasing more, like, which is bizarre that he's walking so much that he's chasing more pitches out of the zone, because he's last year was 29%, this year 36%. Like, what is going on? Like, I'm confused looking at this profile. Like, what is he doing? Could he be fine? Like, maybe, but like, at one point, this was a guy everybody was talking about, like, as a top 50 guy. Like, he's not like anywhere near there for me. And like, what Texas told me by this move is that they're not overly confident in him and not ready for him to play in the major leagues. And this is someone that's about to be 24. He could get passed pretty quickly by some of these younger talents in the system.
Yep.
And I think you have to be concerned by looking at this and saying, like, what is Dustin Harris's future in the Rangers org? And right now, I don't know, because, like, yeah, the stolen bases are awesome. Like, he's 17 of 18 on the base pass this year, but like, he's not like a super speedy guy. Like, this may not be a huge part of his profile long term.
Right.
And there's questionable hit, and the power's kind of dipped off this year. So I don't know. It's weird to look at his profile, in my opinion.
Yeah, and then you mentioned he's getting passed by Evan Carter and could even be passed by others. And it's not like they have, there's like a lot of open spots up there in Texas right now. Yeah, their outfield is probably the weakest part of their team. It's Adelis Garcia, and it's been like a rotating door of, yeah, they got Robbie Grossman out there now and Leody Taveras, and, you know, Bubba Thompson's up there backing up as well. But Evan Carter, I think, absolutely by a mile is ahead of him now, both in terms of talent and, you know, in terms of development. I mean, they're both at the same level right now, and Carter's rising quickly. So, yeah, I wonder. And Harris has played, you know, he played third base in the past, you know, I think 2021 he did, and he's played a little bit of first base this year, but not like either one of those spots are open right now with Nathaniel Lowe and Josh Jung on the corners for Texas. So, yeah, he's a weird one. Maybe he gets traded for, I don't know, for something. I don't know. I just don't know how he fits long term. And yeah, I still think there's a decent profile here and like a top 100 caliber profile, but definitely the arrow is turning down right now. And he'll be a guy that's more like in the 150 to 200 range pretty quickly if he doesn't start correcting some of these issues. Last two hitters on the list are Gavin Cross and Diego Cartea. Now, Gavin Cross has had a really up and down year, but the one consistent has been the strikeout rate is way too high this year. You look at in 179 plate appearances in high A. Yeah, he's got 7 home runs and 9 steals. That's pretty solid. But the K rate is 33.5%, and he's only hitting 196 with a 279 OBP. You thought the other day, it was like about a week stretch, he was hitting really well from the 14th through the 21st. Yes, about a week. He had hits in all but one of those games. And you see, he had like 5 home runs in 6 games, but he was still striking out a lot. Even in those games, he had 2-2, 1-4, 1-2, and now he's 0 for his last 12 with 5 strikeouts. So, man, I don't know. I've always been a big Gavin Cross guy, not just because he has a great last name, but I always thought that I think there's still like a lot of things I was enamored with. I think are still there. Like, he's showing solid power. This is the contact. He's showing speed as well. He's running, but the contact and the swing and miss are just too prevalent right now. So, yeah, this is definitely concerning. I say I'm not like majorly concerned, but I'd say I'm a 5 or 6 right now on Gavin Cross.
That's fair. And as you mentioned, like, he went through a hot stretch, and he's been, quote, hot this month. He had some homers, but he's still striking out 36.5% of the time this month with an OBP below 292. So below 290, his OBP is 292. I'm not sure why. I was going to say below 300, but then below 292. He's below 300. He's at 292. So that's certainly concerning, too, that even in the midst of a, quote, hot streak where he did have a little hit streak going, you know, in mid-May, that he's still striking out that much. He's still hitting 218 this month and has a lower OBP. So you have to wonder, like, who is Gavin Cross? Like, is he going to be this guy that hits for a lower average? Like, are there going to be contact concerns with him? And I think that's a real possibility at this point until we see things turn around some. I would be lying to you if I said that I wasn't concerned about him. The intriguing things are that, you know, he's still hitting for power. So you like to see that, especially this month. He's stealing bases, but the rest of everything is just, it's not great. And he's hitting the ball on the ground a bit too much. Obviously striking out too much. So yeah, I am concerned. And I just wonder, like, is he still a top 100 prospect at this point? Like, I have to, like, we have to at least consider that for fantasy. Like, is he going to be a top 100 guy? Is he right now? I'm willing to give him another month or two, but he may not be before long.
Yeah, no, for sure. Going into the season, so, like, let's look at my April update. I had Gavin Cross at 48, and he's down to, I think I put him like in their 75 range. Let's see. 72 this past update. So, yeah, he's definitely trending down. So, I'm still willing to, yeah, I'm with you. I'm giving him another month or two, like, still doing some good things. But, yeah, this month, he's played in 21 games. He's only had 3 games where he has not struck out. And in, oh, I just lost track. How many games? 1, 2, 3, 4. He has 10 games out of 21 where he has 2 or more strikeouts and 6 where he has at least 3 strikeouts. So, yeah, it's definitely a considerable issue right now that I'm definitely concerned about. And it's not like he's young for the level. He's 22. Not like he's old for the level either. 22 in high A is probably pretty appropriate, or at least right around there. But definitely want to see next month or so. I want to see him start trimming that K rate. See how he does in June. And if we're talking about him in late June, early July, and you know, it's kind of a lot of the same things with him, then yeah, I think he's definitely going to fall out of my top 100 at that time. Another one too, Diego Cartea. He's absolutely fallen off a cliff this season. This is a guy that had you know, some pretty solid years entering 2023. You know, hit for, you know, a lot of power, good OBP, not like a super high K rate, but this year it's just kind of all falling apart. 171, 288, 305, only 3 home runs and 125 plate appearances at Double A. Still walking 10% of the time, which is what he's kind of always done, but K rate has jumped to 35.2%. He's out of my top 100 now, and this is a guy that was like pushing top 50 for me entering the season, especially in OBP formats. But man, Chris, he has not looked good at all this year.
Yeah, he's not a top 100 guy for me anymore either. And I think the margin of error is pretty small for fantasy with catchers, like, because you have to be really, really good with the bat. And he's had his moments where he's been pretty solid. It's like, okay, like, for a while early in his career, it's like, I'm not sure who he's going to be. And then obviously in 2021, in a smaller sample, because he was injured in low A, he was dominant, was 298 average, 409 OBP, 10 home runs and 137 plate appearances. Last year was good too. He hit 22 home runs between low and high A and did it with a respectable average in OBP. But this year, everything is kind of tanked in Double A and he's getting a bit exposed. You mentioned the strikeout rate has ballooned from last year around 26-27% up to 35% this year. And that's obviously a concerning sign for me to look at that and say, okay, like, who is he? Like, what is he going to be? And this is a guy that real life prospect list ranked as like a top 10, top 20 guy. And I never saw that. Like, I probably got as high as like 20 overall, not 20, 50 overall for fantasy purposes. Cause the bat was interesting. Like, okay, like if he does this as a catcher with this kind of power and OBP, like he's interesting, but I'm not sure where I'm at right now. Getting more chase happy. The contact is way down. You mentioned the strikeout rate is certainly worth talking about, and the power's kind of evaporated a bit. So there's just other catchers that are passing him at the end of the day. Like, I mean, there's several catchers in the Dodger system that are showing out, and it's like I don't know like what Cartea is going to be. Yes, he's 21 years old. He'll be 21 for most of this year, but I do think it's worth mentioning that like he is falling, like he's not a top 100 guy for me for fantasy purposes at this point.
Yeah, now same here. I think he's even fallen down a tier in terms of catching prospects. Like this was a guy that was, I think, firmly in tier two. I think tier one for catching prospects for me is some, you know, the foursome of Andy Rodriguez, Austin Wells, Francisco Alvarez, and Harry Ford. And then it was him, Bo Naylor, Logan Ohapi. I think Henry Davis is back into that tier. You know, Soderstrom, Dalton Rushing's up there now. I think Kevin Parada is probably the back end of that. But I think Cartea is down in that next tier now where it's like Edgar Cuero, Jefferson Cuero. It's actually not a really big tier at all. It's not a lot of guys in like the 100 to 200 range in my rankings for catchers. You know, I mean, Ethan Salas could be in that range. Samuel Basalo, Moises Ballesteros, guys like that. Yenner Diaz, but maybe still consider him a prospect. But yeah, he's definitely fallen. He was closer to tier one than tier three. And now he's definitely, maybe put him in the back end of tier two right now. But yeah, these have definitely been a very concerning start to the season for him with how much he's striking out. And just if he's still hitting for power, I'd be like, all right, give him another month or two. But, and I'm not like out on him by any means, but definitely concerning that he's not hitting for power this year at all. And the K rate has skyrocketed. So a couple of concerning things there in the profile for Diego Cartea for sure. Having a hard time managing your finances? Well, Rocket Money is here to help. With all the subscriptions we have to manage these days, including all of those streaming services, it can be difficult to keep track of everything. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Stop throwing your money away. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/toolshed. That's rocketmoney.com/toolshed, rocketmoney.com/toolshed. All right, Chris, let's go over to some pitchers now. We have, seven pitchers on the list. Let's start with some of the major league guys here. Because I think you and I have both gotten a ton of questions on Brandon Thott, who has not, he's not been terrible to start his career, but he also hasn't been, I think, as good as people thought he was going to be, because the hype was pretty high entering his debut. Everyone was waiting for when they were going to call him up. But through four starts, I mean, I guess he has been terrible. 7.65 ERA, 20 innings, 14 strikeouts, 1.55 whip. It's not like he's been unlucky or anything like that, because xERA is 741, xSlug is 618, xBA 285, not really getting any whiffs, only at 15.9% K rate, 24-1 whiff, 22-1 chase. I mean, the numbers have, the metrics aren't terrible. Like, that whiff rate is right below league average. Chase rate's a bit low, but zone contact's right around league average as well. So I think he's been a bit better than the 7.65 ERA, but I think the issue with him right now is spinning location. I mean, the guy that doesn't have the elite velocity, I mean, he's averaging 93.6, which isn't bad, but it's not elite either. You really got to locate that pitch well, and he just has not been doing that. He's been leaving over the heart of the plate too often, and it's getting hit hard. 347 batting average again, 653 slug so far, and even the sweeper and the changeup have been getting hits, at least two home runs in each of those as well. Changeup has a 600 batting average against, and an 1,800 slug, which is insane. 939 wOBA. It's insane to look at those numbers. But he's getting whiffs of those pitches, though. 34-1 on the sweeper, 47-4 on the changeup. But I don't know. Where are you at on him? I know you've been a big fat guy for a while, and rightfully so. But I think looking at him, these first four starts, command has been an issue for him.
He's almost a different pitcher than he was last year. And you know, I don't say that just to try to make excuses, because like I did love Brandon Pfaadt last year, but even to begin the year in AAA, like, he just looked like a different guy. And I think there are some concerning signs with what we've seen from him. You mentioned the command is obviously one of them. The four-seam command is just not there, and he has to pinpoint that command, and that's what he's done in the past, because it's not a overwhelming pitch by any means, sitting at 93.5, 94. Like, so he's got to locate it well, because it doesn't have good movement or life, really. But last year he got away with it in AAA because he located it so well. But he's kind of been all over the place in the majors this year. Even so, even this year in AAA. So it's kind of been a consistent thing this year where the fastball location has kind of hurt him. Doesn't get whiffs on it. The secondaries are good. Like, you look and the sweeper is getting a 35% whiff rate. The changeup's getting a 47.5% whiff rate. So those are really encouraging signs to see, but he's almost a two-pitch guy, especially to right-handed batters. He throws just the four-seam and the sweeper to right-handed batters. To left-handed batters, he's throwing the four-seam, the sweeper, and then you see the change in the curve. Like, he only throws the curve and really only the change to lefties. So I'm a bit confused. Like, I understand, like, the changeup just to lefties, but I kind of want to see him throw the curve more often to righties, too, to have another pitch in a different velocity band. Because against lefties, he's got the fastball at 93.5, 94. He's got the changeup at 87. He's got the sweeper at 83. And he's got the curveball at 78. But against righties, it's literally just 93.5 and 83. So I'd really like to see him utilize the curve against right-handed batters. Like, I feel like that would be huge for him moving forward. And I'm curious now to look at his splits against righties and lefties, knowing the fact that he's using more pitches and four pitches at that against lefties. I mean, honestly, like, surprisingly not great overall. He's not striking out that many more lefties. He's walking a ton more lefties. It's really interesting to look at. The whole profile is a bit confusing to me, and maybe he bounces back. Like, I still like the arm, but Pfaadt's thing was that he commanded his pitches well, that he pitched deep into games and was an innings eater, and we just haven't seen that this year from him. Like, everything that he did last year that made him so successful, he has not done. So I'd say there is a good level of concern about him.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I always, you know, people have heard me mention that time and time again. It's why I love Zach Gallen. I mentioned about Mitch Keller last episode or two episodes ago, whatever that was, that they can throw all their pitches to both sides, both handedness. Like, something like growing up, like when I was growing up, you know, really getting into baseball, you know, mid to late 90s, you know, early 2000s, right around there. You know, got when top guys in the game are like, you know, Randy Johnson, Pedro, Maddox, Glavin, guys like that. You know, like Maddox, Pedro, especially, like these guys would throw, like Pedro had a great changeup, probably maybe the best changeup of all time, in my opinion. And he didn't care if righty left. He was throwing that thing because he had confidence that they were not going to hit it, and he commanded it very well. And that's something I love to see, and something I like seeing, and especially in young guys, like, do they have confidence in all of their pitches in every situation? Doesn't matter if it's righty, lefty, you know, early in the count, late in the count. Do they have confidence in their stuff? And it doesn't seem like Fought trusts his stuff. Maybe I'm way off on this, but like you said, he only goes to the four seamer and the sweeper against righties. Like, why not? He's shown a solid changeup and a solid curveball. Why not go to them against righties? And especially the curveball, which you know, obviously moves away from righties. So I don't get what he's doing right now, but I guess I'm more in the, I would still buy low if the price was good enough, but you know, maybe we did go a little bit high on him in general. Maybe I think he's going to be a solid arm. Maybe he's more like a, you know, back end SP3 or SP4 type than maybe high end SP3 or SP2, something like that. But I'm still willing to buy low, but only if the price is right. Gavin Stone is one, and we don't have to go super deep into him, Chris. I know we talked about him a couple times recently, but he's actually one I'm a bit concerned about, just because command has always been kind of wonky. Even when he was his really good year last year, command and control was still a bit inconsistent then. Like, what was the walk rate last year? I think it was still over 10%. Let me look that up real quick here. Yeah, last year, even he had a 1.48 ERA. Okay, it was like 9.5%, but you know, very, very kind of inconsistent command and control throughout his career, and he's showing that at the major league level. You talked about, you know, the changeup first approach, and all that could be concerning too. So, would you be looking to buy low on Gavin Stone while everyone's, you know, all hyped about Bobby Miller and now Emmett Sheehan's getting a lot of hype as well? Like, do you think because of that and coupled with his, you know, kind of lackluster results so far, is that a good buying opportunity for you? Or are you just concerned to the point where you're not out, but this maybe not isn't a guy that you're looking to acquire either?
Bobby Miller just has such good stuff. It just makes him the better arm, in my opinion. I'll buy low, and depending on the circumstance and what the cost is, because maybe somebody's like just panicking because of how bad he's been. And I think Gavin Stone is going to be fine. Like, we had a pretty good discussion, pretty long discussion in our Discord on him the other day about like these change up first guys, like Chris Paddock types who faded very quickly. And without the elite fastball, like, it's hard to allow, and his changeup is so good. Like, Stone has a really, really good changeup, but Gavin Stone's fastball is just, it's okay. Like, it's kind of a fought mid-90s, like, or not mid-90s, 93.5, but location kind of all over the place. It's just okay. It doesn't get a ton of whiffs. Really, if Gavin Stone throw the slider more, then I'd be a lot more interested, because his slider's a really good pitch, actually. And it even has been in the minors. He just doesn't throw it all that often. So I'm confused as to, like, it's like Fought. Like, throw your curve more. With Stone, throw your slider more. Like, that's been your best pitch so far. But he's only thrown it 18 times this year, so 11%. Like, I'd love to see him utilize that pitch more and just see what it could do, because I'm not confident in a pretty much two-pitch guy where your changeup's really good but your fastball's average. I'd really like to see the slider develop more. Bobby Miller has the stuff. Like, Bobby Miller's elite stuff across the board. Gavin Stone has relied on command. And, you know, fastball's been kind of erratic this year. And the changeup has been left over the heart of the zone some. So I'm concerned about Gavin Stone. And I'm not sure that I'm buying here, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm kind of there with you. Like, I still think he could be a decent fantasy arm long term, but yeah, I definitely would much rather have Miller. Like, the stuff has always been so much better with Miller. Obviously, the big fastball or slider's really good. He showed a pretty good changeup as well. But he just never had the result. Like, he didn't have like that. If he had the season close to what Stone had last year, I think this would have even been a question coming into the year. And they were pretty close in a lot of rankings, including mine. And I'm pretty sure including yours as well coming into this year. But it's because Miller never really had like those. He was never bad in the minors, but he just never had that one year or that one stint at one level where he was like, oh wow, like look at his last 20 starts or whatever it is. And And Stone had that. Like, he had one of the best performances of any pitching prospect in the minor leagues last year. So that really vaulted him up to being on Miller's level. But now we're seeing this year, even though, again, Miller wasn't great in the minor leagues in his few starts outside of his last one before he got called up, that the stuff is just, he's on a different level. He's a tier ahead of Stone and stuff. So I'd probably, same thing with Fall, I would probably buy low if the price was right, but these aren't two guys where I'm like really running out to get those offers out there or start those discussions. I'll say that. And even more so this guy, I've been really, you know, low on DL Hall for a while now. And this year is just more of the same. Like, obviously the stuff is good. Like, the stuff is top 10 pitching prospect stuff, maybe even top five, but command and control just aren't there. And at this point, like, you know, if he's still young and, I mean, he's still 24. I'm not saying he's like super old, but this has been a multi-year issue, like over half a decade of issue now with command and control. And it's not even getting any better at all. And even in some cases, it's getting worse or just plateauing. I don't know. When are they going to make the switch with him to a reliever? I know they did had him mostly relieving last year with Baltimore, but he still made all 8 starts this year, but 5.06 ERA, 1.44 whip. You know, walk rate still well over 10%. I think there's like a 5% chance, and that might even be generous, that Hall is going to be an impactful starter. I think he has to be moved to the bullpen, and I think he can still have some value there, but this is not a guy I want to touch dynasty leagues right now.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident he's a reliever too, and I think they're going to give him run as a starter first, though, see what he can do, but I'm not confident that actually sticks, and I think he'd be a really good reliever, but for a top 100 prospect, like, you have to be a like super elite reliever, honestly.
Right.
And, you know, I'm just kind of looking at the profile here in the arsenal and heavy fastball usage. Like, the fastball's good. Like, not getting a ton of whiffs. He doesn't throw it for strikes enough. Like, I mean, it's fine. Like, he's not getting enough strikes, really, I'll say, on his changeup that's getting hit very hard this year. The changeup has a 31% barrel rate against it, and he's using that as the second most used offering. The slider's a solid pitch, like, gets whiffs. Like, his changeup gets whiffs too, but also getting hit hard. I don't know. Like, it's interesting because the changeup and the slider are both about the same velocity band. I like the stuff as a reliever. I think he could play up as a reliever more. I think you'd see his pitch mix be useful there, but as a starter, like, I do have like some concerns about like what can he be. And I think that he should be a starter through and through. And a reliever through and through, but he should be in Baltimore doing that. Like, he's starting in AAA, which is interesting. And, you know, he came up and got an outing in Baltimore, 3-inning outing, but that was it. K's are going to be there, I think, with the command he's a reliever.
Oh, yeah. I would bet a high amount of money on it. Looking at over his minor league career, 13.2% walk rate. And this is over 333 innings, 85 appearances, 77 of those being starts, dating back to 2017. That was back when Barack Obama was still in office. Right? Was he still in office then?
Nope. 2016 changed.
That was okay. That was, yeah, the first year of Trump. Okay, never mind. But that's how long it's been. 2017.
It's been a while.
Yeah. And obviously he was 18 then. He was a high school arm. But yeah, he's been he's been around for a bit. Like, he's been in the minor leagues for, well, okay, it would have been 7 years if we didn't lose 2020 season. But yeah, it's been a while. Like, I wasn't even doing, neither one of Chris and I were even doing fantasy stuff. We're even close to it. I didn't even start doing fantasy till, oh no, I did start in 2017. So yeah, it was back when I started.
It wasn't close.
when DL Hall, but I forget when I started nowadays. But yeah, it's been a while. It's long story short, it's been a while for DL Hall. And it's just, again, there's been no, if it was like slowly coming down, slowly showing improvements, maybe I still have some hope, but he has shown no improvements whatsoever in that regard. So it's very talented arm in general, but yeah, definitely a reliever long-term in terms of a starter. 4 more names on the list. Mason Montgomery, Christian Mena, Kyle Harrison, and Jack Leiter, who, you know, you and I talked about Jack Leiter, like, how was it, 3-4 episodes ago? We're like, oh, is he turning things around? Yeah. You know, he only had, like, you know, was it 3 walks in his last 4 outings or whatever it was? And he promptly goes and gives up 7 walks in 4 innings. But the name I wanted to start here out of these 4, Christian Mayna. You know, stuff is really good with Christian Mayna. And you've been beating the drum on him longer than most, Chris. But the last, you know, this year, ERA is now 6.27. The last, like, few starts have been really, really bad. But on the same hand, like, the strikeout-to-walk ratio is still pretty good. Like, in 33 innings, he has a strikeout-to-walk ratio of 27%, which is very, very good. He's still striking out 35.2% of batters, and he's only walking a little over 8%. So still very good in that regard. But and what do you think the issues have been with him? Because obviously, like I said, the K minus walk rate is still very good. You think it's just a command thing with him? Obviously, he's still young, 20 in Double A. But what have been your thoughts on Mayna's performance this year?
Well, it's really been a tale of 2 months, honestly. Like, he was really good in April, and then, like, something happened. And honestly, it was his, like, I don't know. Like, he was good in April, and then May is, like, just the wheels have completely, completely come off. And the ERA in May is 9 in 4 starts. So 14 innings, 14 earned runs. Interesting, though, 21K still, 6 walks. Like, those things are still there. Oddly enough, like, he's in the Southern League, so everybody's like, okay, like, tacky ball. The tacky ball's had a negative effect on a lot of pitchers, too, like, because the walk rates are up so much in the Southern League because
right. They
don't know where the ball's going. They're getting movement on pitches that they've never had before, so they're trying to locate this ball, and it's like, okay, like, what is happening? So in some ways, like, it's been positive. In other ways, it's been kind of negative, but I haven't watched his most recent start. I watched a couple starts in May, but his most recent start, it was 2 3rd, 6 earned with just 2 Ks and 1 walk. So, yeah, not much going there. Like, he was hit around, but it was by far his worst start, and it really ballooned the ERA a bit. I think I need to go back and watch that one. He might be pitching tomorrow if I'm looking at – I would have to look and see, but – it's certainly, I would say, one to tune into and to see what's going on with him, because something's been a little off this month, and I can't really pinpoint exactly what it is. He last pitched on May 21st, and that was his really bad outing. So he may get another. 21st was, I don't know what day that was. Was that Sunday?
Yes,
it was Sunday. So he's either going to pitch today or tomorrow. There's still TBD on both those starts, but he's going to throw one of these days against Tennessee. And this is a fun Tennessee team. That's a Cubs affiliate. Owen Casey's raking. So we'll see. I think that's going to be something I'll have to tune into and see what's going on, because he was so good. Like, the fastball was playing up a lot. He's throwing the slider was really, really good too. Changeup was there. So I'm about to see what's going on and if he can rebound. Arsenal's really good, in my opinion. And even one of his start on May 10th, like, I watched that one. It was like a midday one. Like, it started at 11. So I just threw it on, and, like, he had 3 earned in 2 2/3 innings. But it was a really funky start where, you know, he was great through 2 innings. He had then in the 3rd inning, he had a 7 pitch at bat that ended in a hit by pitch. Like, there were some fouls, and he ended up hitting the guy. Again, tacky balls doing weird things. The next at bat, he was squeezed on a call 3rd strike. Like, there was an easy strike 3, in my opinion. They didn't get the call. Then after that, he ended up walking the batter. So he had 2 on. Then it was a grounder, like an easy grounder that was just missed by the first baseman. Then the next at bat, he got line drived on the leg, and it ricocheted to the first base dugout. And it was just like everything kind of just spiraled out of control by really nothing much of his own doing other than the hit by pitch. But I don't know. Like, since then, is something bothering him since he's been line drived? And, you know, he stayed in that game, but he's certainly been a different pitcher this month. So I don't know. I'm watching closely. And I actually say even this month, it's been since that start, May 10th, because his first start in May, 6 innings, 2 earned, 11 Ks, 0 walks. So it's been since he got line drived. Maybe, just maybe, there's something going on there. I don't know.
Yeah, possibly. It's always hard to tell, and we don't have any concrete info that says yes or no on that. But I'm definitely buying. Like, I'm a believer in what we saw, you know, earlier in this year, and he's a great buy because if people just looked at his stats, obviously the ERA this year over 6, first career it's 5.28, But this is a very good arm that has been pitched very well, despite the surface ERA. Has pitched pretty well throughout his career. He's shown the good stuff. So this is a guy that's pushed the top 100 overall, kind of in that cluster with a lot of like the Nick Frassos of the world, a lot of arms like that in that range. Carson Wisenhunt probably a little bit ahead of Mania, but definitely like in that kind of cluster of range, right outside the top 100 or just inside of it. So definitely a great buy right now. I'd be looking to get him anywhere I could, just given the recent results. Hopefully you can get a pretty good discount on him. As I thought, really like the arm talent here a lot moving forward. Mason Montgomery is another one, Chris, that struggled to start the year. Let's see as I pull up his stats again here. In my computer would be willing to work with me here. There we go. In 9 starts, 33 innings, 4.64 ERA, but 1.58 WHIP. Like, he's still striking out a lot of guys this year. He has 46 Ks in just 33 innings, but he's walking a ton as well. 19 walks, which is a 12.8% strikeout rate. Like, but again, K rate is 31.1%. This is a guy that was rising up rankings in a hurry. Because, you know, in 5 outings in 2021, obviously in rookie ball, he dominated there. Small sample size, but he dominated. Last year, 27 starts, 2.10 ERA, 34% K rate. Walk rate was 8.6%. It's like, all right, this guy's rising up a ton, but he's kind of fallen off a bit this year. Are you concerned? Maybe, you know, maybe the hype was too high last year, or do you think maybe just a rough start to the year and he's still a guy that you're looking to target right now?
So he's an odd one too when looking at it, because he's always I never ranked him high despite his dominant 2022, because his fastball is pretty mediocre. Like, come out sitting like 90-91, like, there's just, I got to see a better fastball than that. And he's a changeup guy with questionable command of it. So I'm wondering, like, is this a weird case where he's seen the pros and cons of the tacky ball? Like, he's in the Southern League. He's seen his walk rate balloon. He's also seen the strikeout rate balloon too. Like, I don't know. Like, this is interesting to look at to me and say, like, what's going on with him? Because, you know, Montgomery is Southern League. They're using the tacky ball, but he's almost seen both sides of it in some ways. And like, there's been questionable concern or like concern with me with the command anyway in the past. And now we're kind of seeing it. K minus walk is still really good at 18.2%. He's missing bats at a decently high clip. He's running a high BABIP and a pretty low strand rate. So we could see better days ahead for him. But I just think the fastball is kind of meh, and the changeup's good. Like, the slider's just average. So I've never been, like, overly high on Mason Montgomery, but I don't know. Like, I think that with him, you may be seeing the effects of the tacky ball, like, played out to, like, the full extent. Like, he's getting whiffs, he's getting strikeouts, he's getting walks. He's also allowing home runs. Like, he doesn't know where the pitches are going, it seems.
Yeah, it's been a really weird season for him. And yeah, I never moved him up. I mean, I obviously moved him up, but let's see, where is he at? Oh, let me get the filter off of catchers here. So Mason Montgomery right now is, I am at 203. I think he got as high as like 170, 160 something earlier in the year, or in the offseason, I should say. But yeah, he's in a similar range. I'll see other arms in this range. Jarlin Susanna, Simeon Woods Richardson, Jared Schuster, Marco Raya. I mean, Emerson Hancock, not really a very inspiring range right now. Chase Silseth is in that range too. But yeah, I was never really super high on him. Like you mentioned, the fastball is not really that impressive. And I think he got by on some deception and just some good, you know, good movement on the secondaries. But yeah, I was never super high on him. And I feel like, you know, around 200 is pretty fair for him right now. And he could move up to like 150 if he has, you know, if he turns this around, or he's a guy that might fall down to like 250 to 300 range or so. But yeah, I'm just lukewarm on Montgomery. So I won't say I'm concerned. I'm just lukewarm in general on him. Last name, Kyle Harrison, who, I mean, just when we thought he was turning it around, you know, had pretty bad starts. It's like he's like alternates. Like, he has a good start or two, then a bad couple of starts. It was like he had like 4 starts in a row. He didn't give up more than 2 earned runs, or 2 runs total in 4 starts, I should say, but still was walking a bunch of guys. Then had a good start on the 6th of May, 4 innings, 1 hit, no runs, no walks, 7 Ks. Then back to 3 2/3, 2 runs, 3 walks, 3 1/3, 5 runs, 3 walks. And then his last start, 4 innings, 0 hits, 0 runs, 1 walk, 9 Ks. So inconsistent, Chris. Like, the stuff is there. We talked with him, you know, about a month or so ago as well, where, you know, I always have had some concerns with the fastball command. I think he could be like a Robbie Ray type that I'm not usually good with comparisons, but he screams Robbie Ray, where it's a guy that'll have a lot of strikeouts, but, you know, a little bit of a higher walk rate and probably the guy that won't have great ratios. Like, you know, Ray, you know, upper threes ERA guy, like a 1.3 whip, something like that. But you make up for it when he has, you know, a 33% K rate or whatever it is. So I'm still kind of there with Harrison. I think he's just pretty inconsistent. He's like a, you know, top 75-ish guy for me in that range. But I don't know. I want to see a longer sample size of showing, you know, at least some improved command and control, because in his 10 starts this year, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of those have been had at least 3 walks. And it's not like he's going deep in the games either. He has not gone into the fifth in any game this year, only 4 innings twice. So a lot of concerning things there with Harrison.
Yeah, he is interesting, to say the least, where he doesn't throw many strikes. Like, his strike rate is really, really low. It's like 57.5% strike rate. That's not ideal. Like, you want to be over 60 and you want to be mid-60s, like, if possible. Not a lot of strikes. It's especially the case with his slider. His slider's out of the zone a lot, which is okay. Like, that's good, but he's not getting swings out of the zone, which I think is a bit concerning there. Fastballs gets whiffs. Like, fastball's probably his best pitch, but he's a fastball slider guy. And right now, the slider's been getting hit around some, which is interesting. So, got to keep an eye on that. And I don't know. Like, he's an odd pitcher. I think there's some bullpen risk for sure. Like, just because the command. Fastball slider, that's really it. Like, sparingly uses a changeup. But like you said, it's been a major, major mixed bag of results this year. He's coming off his best start of the year, which was 4 scoreless innings, 4 no-hit innings at that, with 1 walk, 1 hit by pitch, and 9 Ks. By far his best start, because other than that, we've seen him just walks. Like, he's had 10 starts this year, and in 7 of them, he has walked 3 or more. And mind you that he has pitched 3 innings in most of these starts. And in 4 of them, he has walked 4. So in 10 starts, he's thrown just 30 2/3 innings. So he's averaging about 3 innings per start. So you obviously want to see that increase. Like, he may be on a pitch count of some sort, but we need to see him. How does he fare against lineups third time through the order? Because he's not even really getting through the second time of the order. So there's some question marks with him. I'm certainly a bit concerned that the stuff's there, and he's going to have really good starts. So we'll have to see with him. But he's interesting. I still think there's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, no, there definitely is. Let's end the show with a little who you got here with for Kyle Harrison. I think it's good for him. Let's see. You got Kyle Harrison. Oh, no, I know the answer to that one. Kyle Harrison or Mick Abel?
Yeah, they're actually really, really close for me right now. I think I still lean Harrison. Abel, I want to see Abel take a step forward, and he's shown flashes of that, and it's like, ooh, he just lays a huge egg. So,
I know, right?
Yeah, still have Harrison slightly ahead.
I have Abel slightly ahead, but it's like they're 5 spots apart. So yeah. I will lean Abel here. But yeah, they're very similar. Great stuff, but this consistency has not been there. Though I have a little more faith in Abel. I think it's probably why I have him ahead. I know the answer to between Harrison and AJ Smith-Sharper. That's not even a question for you anymore, I'm sure. How about Harrison or Gavin Stone?
They're actually pretty close as well. I dropped, like, Gavin Stone was way ahead, but I did drop him in this ranks update just because the concerns that we mentioned. And while there's concerns with Harrison too, I still slightly lean Stone, but I think this is an interesting one that's fairly close.
Yeah, I lean, where would I have them? I have Harrison slightly ahead, but Again, these are all guys in similar range of rankings for me. How about Harrison or Andrew Abbott?
I have Harrison ahead. I like Abbott. He's a back-end top 100 guy. And Harrison may push there, but you know, right now it's still Harrison.
Yep, same for me. How about, you know, this would be a fun one since he hasn't pitched in forever. Harrison or Max Meyer, who would you rather take a flyer on or now?
Probably Harrison, though. Meyer would be interesting to see what he looks like when he comes back. I think we still have to kind of wait and see, like, what does he look like post-TJ?
Yeah, I have Harrison about 10 spots ahead. Last one, I think I know the answer to this for you. Has Emmett Sheehan jumped Harrison for you?
Yes.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. Where do you, I know this is not like what we're talking about this episode, but where do you have Sheehan? I have him 67 right now. I moved him up a pretty good amount.
Yeah, he's right in that range. Like he's that tier is, it's right around where Harrison Steve has fought and Sheehan and Tink Hintz and Mason Miller, Ben Brown, some of those guys. So he's right around there.
Yeah, for sure. But all right, that's going to wrap up this episode. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to check out both of our personal platforms for more work from each of us. And join us again next time. But until then, everyone take care.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.